Hi, I'm Greg Yates. I'm here from the No Head Trash Nation and Breakthrough Leadership, trying something a little bit different today. I've got a camera in the podcast sound booth, so I'm going to give it a shot and see if I can actually do this podcast and actually do a video at the same time. Let's find out what happens, right? Because I'm so random and sometimes I get carried away. So let's find out what this is going to turn out like, okay? Hey, today I want to talk to you about something that's really been an issue for me in my life. So I'm guessing that I'm not the only one. As it deals with head trash, the topic I want to talk to you about is this. Your success hinges on your attitude toward this one thing. I almost said it. I almost slipped up and just said it right out loud, right? But your success, listen to me, your success is going to depend on your attitude toward this one thing. Here we go. Can you guess what it is? It's going to depend on your attitude toward doing hard things. Whoa, you knew that was coming, right? You knew that at some point in time, we're going to talk about doing hard stuff. Of course, that's what they always want to talk about. Oh, it takes Superman to get this done. If I can't just absolutely push myself beyond the limits, then I'm not going to be able to be successful. That's what you've been afraid of, right? That's what you've been terrified is going to be true. Well, let's talk about it. You know, I used to think that was the case, and when I was younger, especially, didn't bother me a bit. I thought, yeah, if I can compete, give me a chance to compete with these people, I can make this happen. I can push through the barriers. I can move through the obstacles. I can become better than the rest, better than I've ever been. You know, what's that $6 million man? I'm telling my age here. You know, I can be stronger. I can push harder. I loved the idea that I was competing. The problem was, I learned later I was competing with this guy. Yeah. If you could see me on the video, it's this guy in between my ears. I was competing with an opponent who was really well matched. The same guy that I was looking in the mirror at every day. And yet I knew that for me to be successful, I was going to have to do hard things. But I didn't say your success was going to be dependent on you doing hard things, did I? I said it was going to depend on your attitude toward hard things. Whoa. Why would I say that? I mean, what's the difference? Hey, did you notice if you're on the video, you can see I've got my No Head Trash t-shirt on. It's a little dark in the video, but we're going to find out how this works. You know what? Your attitude toward hard things is different than just doing hard things. You see, because sometimes we do hard things with an attitude of anger or an attitude of spite even, or an attitude of relegated ourselves to it. We don't have any choice. We know we're going to do hard things. But today I want to dig a little deeper on that, okay? So keep listening, because I want to define what hard things are. I mean, what makes things hard? And trust me, it's not just about the fact that I'm able to make anything hard, because I can. I can take simple stuff and turn it into work. I've never found a game yet I couldn't turn into an actual job, okay? So if you relate to that, if you kind of laugh at that, remember, that's still not what we're talking about today. I want to talk about your attitude toward hard things. You see, it's crazy because the spectrum is so broad. We've got some people on one end of the spectrum that say, oh, I don't want to do anything. It's hard. Or maybe hard triggers fear, right? It triggers the fear of failure, fear of the unknown, all those things. Man, there's so much to talk about there. The other end of the spectrum might be some of us who say, oh yeah, just where is that dragon I'm supposed to slay? Where is that thing? How do I get to it? How am I going to go after it? And we're willing to go do hard things, but because we like the adrenaline, we like the sense that we're performing, that we're being validated by that performance. And that's like the whole other end of the spectrum. I mean, that, my friends, is an addiction. It is. It was an addiction for me for decades. The idea that I wore like a badge of honor, that I was willing to go do things other people weren't willing to do. I had people tell me, and I was so proud of it. They'd say, one guy said to me, you know, I don't think you'd ever be comfortable unless you're out of your comfort zone. And I thought, yeah, that's my identity. That's who I am. I love it. Here's the truth. Here's the reality. It's still on the spectrum of my attitude toward hard things. Where are you going, Greg? What are you saying? What I'm saying is this. What we deem to be hard things is a definition that's a little bit different than the one I want to use. You see, because first, before we even talk about how we would accomplish that, I want to define today what makes things hard. Okay, what makes things hard? We say it's about our attitude toward doing hard things, but what makes things hard? I'd love to hear your feedback on that. Let me tell you the three things that, in my opinion, make things hard, okay? The first thing that makes things hard is a lack of familiarity. They're hard because we haven't done them enough yet. We look at people who do something that's so easy for them, right? Or maybe there are things we do that you do, and somebody says, oh my goodness, I don't know how you do that. And you say, well, if you'd done it as many times as I have, it'd be easy for you. And we say, wow. And we look at things like driving a car and we say, well, any idiot can do that, right? But when you first got in the seat and started doing it, it's like, oh my goodness, especially if you're my age, when it was a clutch and the gas and the stick shift and all those things. And you say, wow, how in the world? But then before long, it's just automatic. Don't even think about it. You don't even know you're doing it. When I first started flying, and especially in instrument flight training, you're listening to the radio and you say, oh my goodness, how could you ever discern what all's being said there? How could you ever understand the commands that they're giving you? I mean, it's terrifying, folks. I'm telling you, it's terrifying. After a while, it all makes sense. After a while, it's like slow motion. After a while, it's like, hey, there are only like 10 or 12 things they're ever going to say. And you learn how to interpret those things, and it just flows. Things are hard because you haven't done them enough yet. That's the first thing that makes things hard, in my opinion. You haven't done them enough yet. There are people that you want to say are just lucky, right? Or maybe there are people out there that you say, man, they think I'm just lucky. You want to tell them, I have labored over this. I've worked. I've battled to become this person who can do this thing, or who can do this job, or who got this position or this promotion. I've battled for that. But the truth is, there are people out there who want to just say, oh, it's so natural for you. It's just so easy for you. You know, in the last year, I lost a ton of weight because I got clear about my attitude toward hard things and changed my definition of success. And guess what? By doing a few simple things on a regular basis, I got good at them. And then they weren't hard anymore. Does that mean that they're not hard things? They are hard things, but the beauty of it is when you've done them enough times, they get easy. So that's my number one. Why are things hard? They're hard because you haven't done them enough yet. You keep doing them and they won't be so hard, but they're still in the hard things category. Why? Because most people aren't willing to. This is awesome. See, what I'm telling you really here is that your attitude toward hard things changes your level of success. It changes your ability to move into success because it becomes the process, the habits, the things that you're repeating, even though they're hard when you start. The second really big thing that's important that you know about hard things, okay? I don't love this one. Didn't used to love it anyway. But it's this. Life's not fair, okay? Life's not fair. Get over it. It's simply not fair. And for a long time, I thought it should be fair. I thought life should, you know, that this action ought to get this result 100% of the time. I didn't want to buy into this. You plant seed, some of it grows, some of it doesn't. You do the consistent things and you get a harvest. I didn't want to buy into that because I wanted to do something like one time and have it get a result. I wanted to be able to say, oh, I went and did that thing and it all came together for me. You know, maybe it was a prayer I said. Maybe it was an act of kindness I did. Maybe it was me just in a relationship yielding and not having to have the last word. I mean, maybe it was something so simple. And I thought, I tried that and it didn't work. Doggone it, it didn't work. Oh, man. Life's not fair. Trust me on this. You're glad. Trust me when I say we should all be glad life's not fair. When I started to realize if I got everything that I deserved, instead of just singling out those little things that I wish would have just instantly, you know, made all the dominoes fall, instead of that, when I realized that, man, there are a lot of things, accidentally or on purpose, that I'm doing that I am glad I'm not having to get what I deserve out of them. I'm glad I don't get what I deserve. Then I realized it's a good thing life's not fair. It's a good thing that God Himself has given us grace, because if we don't learn to give grace to each other and to ourselves, everything's hard. And that's the second reason, in my opinion, that things seem hard or that things are hard, is because we think that a specific action should always just immediately get a specific result. We think that life ought to balance itself out. And that gives us the ability, whether we consciously say it out loud or not, it gives us the ability to excuse ourselves or to accept something other than what we're called to do. Than our success, than our highest purpose, than fulfilling our capability, the greatest mystery of the universe. I'm going to do that talk. The greatest mystery of the universe. What are you really capable of? A lot of those things seem hard because, like I said, you haven't done them enough, and because life's not fair. Life isn't fair. You're going to get things you don't deserve that are incredible. And you'll say, how in the world did I ever deserve that? I think of that every time I see my wife. I say, wow, God, you blessed me so much. How did I ever deserve that? I know I'll get a lot of comments on that one. Everybody agrees with that. But life isn't fair. And that's the second thing that makes things seem hard, okay? The third thing about your attitude toward hard things, about doing hard things, I love these hard things, by the way, because the more I've done of them, the easier they get. And all the things that normally, typically, really are hard, I'm able to kind of intentionally not worry about them so much because they're on the other end of the food chain. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. The third thing that makes things hard is that we believe that the future lies in the past. That really makes things hard. What do I mean by that? Is that we believe that our experiences, the things that we've experienced, or the circumstances around our life define our future. And they don't. But if you believe that, it really makes things hard. It really, really makes things hard. Because now you're in a position where looking backwards, or even looking at what's piled up to date so that, you know, you see this environment of circumstances. Don't forget about my book coming out, The Circumstances Lie book. Oh my goodness, I can't wait for that book to be released because I feel so powerfully about what I'm sharing there. This idea that circumstances merely represent the terrain, okay? They don't represent the destination, the potential. So the first thing was hard things are hard because you haven't done them enough yet. Suck it up, go do them. Hard things are hard because life's not fair, and you keep thinking it will be or should be. And you ought to be thanking God they're not, that it's not fair, because we never want to get what we really deserve. And the third thing is because we keep looking to the past to identify what's possible in the future. Okay? Those are the three things that make stuff hard. So back to my premise. My premise is your success is going to be hinging. It hinges on your attitude toward hard things. In other words, the things you're doing you think are so hard, a lot of times those aren't even really the hard things. Why is that? I mean, why do we get this all mixed up? Why is it that we don't say, oh, well, if I need to do the hard things, then I should go deal with only those really hard issues. I agree. The problem is this. The problem is that we rarely have urgency associated with the important things. You've seen that spectrum, right? You've seen that, well, you know, that the difference between the urgent and the important. The problem is we think hard things are urgent. And the hardest things we will ever do are not the urgent things. They're the things that lack urgency, and that's what makes them hard, because they're the things that require us to step outside of our normal race, the foot race that we're in, you know, outside of the to-do list. And sometimes these things create guilt. They create a sense of, oh, no, that's hanging out there and I haven't done it yet. That's what they've done to me anyway. And sometimes we really don't know how to put them in first place. You've probably seen or heard the example of the big rocks, right? I mean, the idea that the only way the big rocks ever go in the jar is you put them in first. And yet, it you know, if you've never seen that, that's a beautiful illustration. I mean, you've got rocks, and you've got big rocks, smaller rocks, sand, and then I think water. And if you want to fit all of those into this pickle jar, this big jar, the only way they go in is if you put the big rocks in first. If you try it any other way, it won't all fit. I mean, it's crazy. And sometimes people get that backwards. They think, oh, that means I'm supposed to cram more things into my life. No, that's not what it means. It means that unless you do the important things first, the important things never get done. Okay? So that's why I'm defining hard things as important things. And why are they hard? They're hard because they don't have urgency. They don't have urgency, and we need urgency. And if urgency is going to exist, you've got to create it. You've got to create the urgency that helps you do three things. Man, this is too long. This is too big of a concept. I hope you're following with me. But I'll go through them really quick. The only three things that matter, the three things that will hinge your success, and they are hard things because they don't come attached with their own urgency. You've got to supply the urgency. You've got to supply the passion to get them done. And here's what they are. Number one, you got to get clear. You got to get clear about what your definition of success is. You got to get clear about your enemies. You got to get clear about your environment. You've got to get clear about where you are, be honest, and where you want to be. Be a dreamer. You've got to get clear about those things, so crystal clear that it's compelling to you and you are willing to take action. You're willing to not let the moment get in the way of seeing the bigger view. The second thing, I'm going fast. This is like a whole presentation on its own. I do this as a talk. The second thing is you've got to get passionate. Oh, trust me. Logic is good. It's great. It's cool. But logic gets you nowhere. Logic is not rocket fuel. Logic does not move us from where we are to where we want to be. What moves us? When we have those aha moments. That's a start. You know, it's not a plan. It's not a system, but it's a start. And we feel empowered. We feel inspired. We feel passion because passion takes us where we need to go. You got to get clear. Number one, you got to get passionate, number two. And number three, you got to get connected. You have to get connected. Isolation is the enemy of excellence. It's the enemy of success. Isolation gets you nowhere. Now, isolation sometimes feels safe. We don't want to talk about our issues. We don't want to talk about the things that we're struggling with. We don't want to talk about the things that we may be afraid we're going to fail at. And until we're able to surround ourselves with the people who share a common definition of success with us and who share the passion for what we're doing, who are clear on our purpose and we're clear on those, until you get connected like that, you will never have the opportunity to succeed. We don't succeed as individuals. We succeed always as individuals because we're working with others. We're going there together. The cord of three strands, all of the things that you envision, we truly need each other. That's why I share. It helps me to share because it keeps me on track. Just last night, random here, just last night, After speaking at an event, I had a gentleman named Matt ask me a question. Are you ever afraid that you're going to go back into the old habits that kept you being validated in a wrong way, that took you down a wrong road, that distorted your view of success? I'm terrified every day. And one of the ways that I avoid or that I escape, that I take control of that fear is I talk about it. I talk about it. I write about it. I teach about it. I help others break free from those very same issues. And by doing that, I'm able to break free myself. You see, I'm practicing. I'm trying to make hard things easy. So today, if you want to be successful, it's going to hinge on your attitude toward hard things, what you view as hard things, how you prioritize hard things, and how you have the team and the passion, the energy, the rocket fuel to blow your way right through those hard things. It's Greg Yates. I'm going to let you go for now. I'm glad that you're on this podcast. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to see you on the No Head Trash Nation, our private Facebook group. Breakthrough Leadership is the name of the company because we help people break through. We use a 90-day breakthrough program, the Power 30 routine, my practice zone. What a strategy that I love to share. I hope you'll join us on the Facebook group, and I hope you'll give me some feedback on how I can do just a little bit more to get rid of the power of head trash working against you and me. Have an incredible day. Greg Yates signing off.